Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. Today is May the 2nd, Monday, May the 2nd, 2022, and I thank God for this day. A curious thing happened this weekend. Saturday night when I went to sleep, the word of the Lord came to me. And He said that his return is imminent. But there are people who have been praying for their people, their children, parents for the children for the parents that are not in the kingdom of God or wayward. And then there people can sense, people that love God can sense that His return is near. And so many wonderful men and women of God have said it, expecting it, even in this season. This happens to be a Shemitah year. And this is the season of Pentecost is coming up. And, you know, and I've been taught about the barley harvest and the wheat harvest and the grape harvest, and in that order. And, but again, I don't know when Jesus is going to actually come and rapture His people, but I know it's imminent. He told me that, and I believe it. Now, every time He tells me His return is imminent, my heart goes out to people that haven't heard good. I said people that haven't heard good. Some people have heard the word of God the way that they heard it, but in the most accurate ways. And also, there's another problem. People don't know what sin does to them. And then, when I studied the Laodicean church, you have to understand the Lord is talking to people that badge His name. They are not, in heart, they are not His people anymore. They're tares. They become tares. So their assessment is one way. God's assessment is true. You know, Jesus said, you know not that you're miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. They don't see their condition. They think because we have riches that we don't need anything. And I want to share with you that God loves His people. And He said that people have been praying for their people earnestly. And the people that have went rogue with the world, He can't take them to heaven. He just can't do it. It's not going to happen. But He said their prayers avail much. So the Lord loves His people, and our prayers avail much. So this is the response. This message He gave me, He told me to do this broadcast as a response to the way people have prayed. And we all know people that, you know, when we truly love the Lord, we know how good He is. We're not confused about how good He is. We know it's right. We know the way of truth is right. We know Jesus is the only way out of this mess of the world that we live in. We also know that in the world, you can't see the exit door unless you believe on Jesus. He's the only way out of this problem. And He saved us He didn't just give us a life insurance policy. And sometimes that's how people treat salvation. Oh, I guess I get saved, then I can live for it. They treat it lightly. And then, and also there's an element that won't God on their terms. Not going to happen. And that's just the character of man in sin. But Jesus came to destroy our sin, take it away, take it from us, give us His life. Now, some people receive the life of God and they stay out of trouble. And they manage to stay out of sin because they live the love of God. If somebody doing wrong, they're quick to forgive. They don't hold grudges. They pray for their enemies. They do everything Jesus said in every way that they know how. And sometimes they don't even, some people have character. I've seen this with my own eyes. They have the character of God. They will pray, they're long-suffering, they bear the fruits of the Spirit, but they may not know how to use authority. Some people do that, they have the character of God. They know how to, they manage to love everybody. They are blessing everywhere they go. They may not know how to prosper. Some people, they'll give you the shirt off their back. They'll do whatever it takes to help you out. But they may not know how to be healed. And why? Because of poor training or lack of knowledge. But I know this for a fact, and I've seen this with my own eyes too. And I've been to church all my life. And when people have that love of God, God can compensate them. I have seen people win in life when they didn't even know how to apply faith, but they continued in the things of God, and God took care of them. He compensated for them. He compensates for me. See, this life, what if you were blessed to have good teaching and good training, your life is better. Greatly so. And there's no limits with God. Our salvation is unlimited. But it's not on our terms, it's on God's terms. We adjust to Him. But the wicked try to get God to adjust to them. And sometimes they're our cousins, they're our children, they're our parents, or even our spouse. So we pray for people because we want God to bless them. And we bear fruit as much as we understand it. And we want God to compensate and get them to know what we know. And so God gave me this broadcast to deal with this problem. Because He loves His people. He's not going to just ignore His people. He loves His people. So the things that He's going, the words He put in my mouth is the response to all the people that pray for people that are not coming in the kingdom of God. Or they're deceived by the world somewhere in their doctrines. And God's going to, His selection is perfect. He's not going, He told me this, when I do the rapture, not one mistake will be made. Everybody He take with Him, He should have took, and everybody He leave here, He should have left. Not one mistake will be made. He also said people on earth will be looking for their people on earth. They that didn't go in the rapture. And then people in heaven will be looking for their people in heaven that did go in the rapture. And people that's in heaven that's already there. They're going to be looking for each other. Hoping, wishing, praying. Even in heaven, they're going to be wanting to be that some kind of way my daughter made it. Or my son made it. Or my wife made it. Or my cousin made it. I want to see my grandparents. Did they make it? And the grandparents are going to be looking for them. Even the ancestors are going to be looking for you. It's going to be wonderful. And He said in heaven, sometime they're going to find each other. Sometimes. Now, let's go back to what started all this. Where, when we first met the Lord, He said, let there be light. Let there be light. God has been on the move, doing good ever since He said, let there be light. And even before that. Now, I found three scriptures last week that said Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. When God made the earth, we know from Job that the sons of God sang out. They praised God and worshiped. When God was making the earth and they saw it, they witnessed this thing being made. The Lord already knew that He had to have a plan of redemption. He knew what was going to happen. Didn't sneak up on Him. And so, and remember the end of this. The end, after Jesus reigned 1,000 years, the enemy is going to be loose to tempt whoever he can. He's going to tempt whoever will be tempted will follow their leader Satan. They didn't like God. They didn't like Jesus. But they're going to fall out to Satan. Satan's going to actually start an insurrection. And I want you to understand, this kind of enmity is real. Whatever people do concerning Jesus, they did it on purpose. It's not an accident. It's not a misunderstanding. and it's real. And they mean it. So God has to deal with these problems. Now, look at what he said in Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. Now, that was a long time ago. Okay. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You see the condition? This is how the earth became, because of a problem, because of a war. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now we're going to meet God. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He made a distinguishing difference between light and darkness. So I say, the reason I say that he chose the light and hated the darkness is because of this wording, the wording of verse 4. And God saw the light that it was good. He loved it. And God divided the light from the darkness. He didn't want the darkness. But darkness is useful to represent sin, which God hates. Darkness of itself is a good representation of sin itself. So he really hates, he loves the way of truth and hates the way of lies. He loves the way of love and hates the way of hatred. You see, light and darkness. He loves what's good, he hates what's bad. Sin is something that never should have existed in his kingdom in the first place. It was brought here through the insurrection of Satan and those that shared the passions of Lucifer. See, that was God. The Lord knew every soul in his creation. He know their heart. He know their mindset. He know what's going on. Now, people can learn how to act. And they can present themselves. Children are good at it. Teenagers are even better at it. Before I knew God, I knew how to present myself. If I said ugly words with my friends, I knew how not to say them around adults. If I was going to use ugly words, I looked around and made sure there were no adults present or young children. But my friends knew how I was. You know, this is how it is. But when you're not connected to God, you do things. You think a certain way. The only way you cannot sin is through Christ. After you believed on him for yourself, on purpose, and you love him, you love his ways. Now, when I got saved, I wanted to change my habits. I had habits. Some people sin because of habits, or they say things because of habits, but they don't. The words that, after I got saved, because I used to swear and use profanity, it didn't just dry up and go away like I wanted it to. Before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I said words. If I got upset, or it would fly out of my mouth just like it used to, because your mind is not renewed. But I kept crying. I sought the Lord about that. I said, I can't represent God doing this. That's how I felt about it anyway. Some people don't worry about it. But I said, no. I wanted to represent Jesus. If whatever I can't do in this life, I do want to represent Jesus. That was a change in my heart the moment I got saved. My raggedy ways wasn't just erased. But I kept after the Lord about it. And I kept praying about it. Because that was a terrible habit. And then when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't have to say, I was in control again. And I could not say those words. I just used that for an example. And many other things with it. And so now I wanted to know more about the Holy Spirit. Because it's important to me. The things of God are very important. These are not things you just casually have an attitude against. You have to deal with it. The things of God, you have to, well, the things of God, you can't just have a casual attitude about the things of God or a casual attitude about sin. Sin has to be driven away. Ouch. And when I learned to confess things by Charles Capps, he taught confession as well. I used to say I hate sin. I would name the sin and I would say I hate it. And then that same sin would make me mad. It didn't at first, but after I kept saying it, Charles Capps used to say, it don't just happen because you say it. But saying it is involved in work. If you can say something, that word grows roots in you. That's how the word of God grows roots in you. When you say it, I want this, the roots grow deeper. I love my brother, the roots grow deeper. I love God, the roots grow deeper. So, because when the sun comes up, when the heat is on, the roots are there. And you're braced. When everything, I hate lust, I hate pride. The roots of the word grow deep. The words of Jesus is more important. This is how I did it. And then I needed knowledge. I needed knowledge. Lord. I need to know how to deal with this. I still feel tempted here. I don't like it. I speak that I hate it, but if I feel tempted, what's wrong? What's the problem? I tried to find it in the Word, and the Lord gave me a vision. First, he taught me how to love, and I talk about that in many broadcasts. But in case some people that don't hear the broadcast, I'm going to say it again. He taught me. I almost got in a fight in 1987. And the Lord, I was at my weakest moment. And before, if you can say something, if you're angry, if you can speak angry things, if you can speak it, you can do it. Before I spoke, the Lord spoke to me and said, everlasting love to love a man, whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. That's what the Lord said to me. But the word gave me strength to come back to balance. And I'm going to explain coming back to balance. My eyes was in my head, so to speak. I wasn't going by the frustration. Because my friend, he made me mad. And he did. I learned later that he did this on purpose. He was testing me. He found out I was a preacher. I had just got called to preach in that season. And he was testing me. He was about 20 years older. And in his eyes, I'm just a young man, don't know what he's doing anyway. I don't know how he wanted to test it. He tried to see if I was sincere. I guess men do that to each other. But the Lord blessed me that day, and I wasn't even angry anymore after the Lord said, "Everlasting love to love a man, whether he does you good or evil." So I said, "I'm gonna go buy a drink. We're gonna talk about it." And on the way home, I did something. This was the best prayer I ever prayed beside receiving the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, teach me to love your people. This is going to happen again, and I'm going to lose it on somebody. And he started teaching me about love. All right. When a year later, when the enemy launched this campaign of temptation. See, everybody has to overcome the enemy and win before they can go forward with God's business. That's what Jesus did. He was tempted of the enemy. So the enemies, that was a season. I couldn't go nowhere without women flirting. And it was getting to me. And I said, Lord, how do I deal? Now, a lot of things happen. I'm condensing this story. You have to go back and listen to Heart to Heart broadcast, just like this one. And you'll hear the more of it. But anyway, he showed me a vision of a confrontation, and I walked in love. He said, you handle it the same way. The short version of this is, you love the women that's trying to tempt you with the agape love of Jesus, and you can't lust after them if you do that. If God would have told me that, it wouldn't have made sense, but he showed me in a vision. I had a reference of what he meant. the Holy Spirit can compensate for us. You don't have, a lot of people get leavened because they don't know how to live and nobody knows how to teach them, and they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. But see, once a person is leavened, they get to a point they won't come back. See, the Lord has given you knowledge of how things work. If you don't want to know God, you're not going to know Him. That's why Jesus said, knock, seek, and ask. I kept after God about these things. I wanted to know God so much that I kept asking, how do I do it? How do I serve you? How do I please you? How do I live the life I want to live? How do I do it, Lord? I asked. Now, some people, they just say, well, hey, it's how it is. They just give up. Dangerous. Very dangerous. But once people get to a point that they make a choice, they can see better and not come into the light. They can see the people living the life of God and they avoid them. They're not giving God something. This is of their own free will, folks. I'm not saying God don't want to save them. If they're your people, they're more God's people than they are yours. He made them. He know what they're thinking. He know the condition of their heart. But He's not going to take sin to heaven. Period. I don't care who it is. If they make that choice, that's the choice that they make. For whatever reason they made it. And He wants His people to understand you can't make people's decision for them. And God can't make it for them. They're going to have to make their own decision. God can't save people that don't want to be in the kingdom of God. He set everything up for everybody that wants to come out. Now Daniel said that would be an end of sin. Sin of itself can't do anything. It has to have an agreeable host. Sin has to have an agreeable host. It has to have a living angel or a demon or a person to be sin for it to be activated, or else it's just smoke. It's just like the darkness. When you turn on the light, it's gone. So in order to get rid of sin, you got to get rid of the host that houses it. God's not going to take a person to heaven with a bad attitude against people. The way we love God is the way we love man. It cannot be untied. So, through love, that's how we fulfill the law. You can try to obey the letter of the law. That's a miserable way to live. All you got to do is receive the love of God, and you will fulfill it just like Jesus, because He did something against your sin. He did something to drive your sin out. You got to want it gone. Every individual got to, they got to drive sin out of their own life. They got to do the same thing that the children of Israel were supposed to do against the Canaanites. God gave them the land of the Canaanites, and they were supposed to drive the Canaanites out of the land, because there was a witchy influence there. And many of them were giants. When they first saw the land, they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they were, the giants don't supposed to be here. God didn't make giants. He made men. Earth women slept with angels and they made giants. It's all over the earth. The Titans, the Olympians, the Indians knew about giants. The giant bone burial mounds here in America. Even Abraham Lincoln gave reference to it. When they left Canaan land, they came here. But the enemy wanted them in the middle of the earth. If you put all the land mass back together, Israel's in the very center of the earth. Isaiah 5 talks about how it's situated in the center of the earth. Another scripture in Ezekiel says it's in the center of the earth. And you put all the land back together, it is. It's a strategic trade route position. So the enemy wanted to dominate. He wants to raise up another Nimrod. He's been trying to ever since Nimrod died. Now, The influence of evil is here, and people choose it by choice. It's not something that, you know, if a person wanted out of their life, God can work with them. And God has been saving people. We are attracted to the light. So God has to raise up people that live the life of God. And then when people see the light, some of the most hardened criminals see the light and they come and get saved. And they don't want any more parts of the world. There are prostitutes that are miserable in their ways and in their livelihood. They want out. They wish they could have a family, children, the whole nine yards. They wish they could be free from it. They're taking girls and forcing them into prostitution. These people want to be alive and doing things like others, but they're in a cage. They live in entrapment until they are no more use to somebody. God is going to viciously judge this earth. You want to get out. And people that take the mark, they prove where their allegiance is. Everybody that take the mark, they hated God. You can't take the mark unless you love the world more than God. So when people are compromised, God will not take them to heaven. He know the difference. When you see the end result, you know, we're going to see some of our loved ones doing, from the heavens view, doing things that we didn't think they would do. But God knew this all along. See, there were always people from the beginning, from the time Adam sinned, there were people who insurrected against God. So Satan did something unique. He developed a religious system that hates God. Why would Jesus come to his own people? The religious leaders that sat in Moses' seat, they the ones wanted Jesus dead. Don't forget that. So there were people who followed Jesus. And they were internal enemies. They were in the camp. And they were enemies. Jesus had to say, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have nothing to do with me. And most of them left. Don't forget that. Because people are no different now. Now, this is puzzling to many. Because in our mind, we say, well, if you go to church, you sit on the pew, you listen to the preacher, you rejoice when he preach, you hear the songs. That don't mean that people love God, folks. The Lord said, many people badge my name. They sing my songs. They assemble themselves, and I don't know them. And they don't know me. So the rapture is going to be a reality check. It's going to be a snapshot of reality on the grandest scale. In one moment, you're going to know who's who. And then when people see their ex-pastors taking the mark, they'll know why God left them. I'm going to read something. This is very puzzling to me. Because to the pure, everybody's pure. But to those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. Don't forget that. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Some truth will keep you up at night. You'll be thinking about it. And it's still the Holy Spirit. This is an example. I was thinking about a situation I heard of. I said, Lord, how could a person be that low, that evil? Then he spoke to me. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. And then he stopped talking. And I just considered it. I said, what in the world do they have in common? I said, Lord, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to mess up. Show me the rest of this. He said, now I'm going to start over. All who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it's still there. It's there. Only people who believe God love God. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. All who love the world have enmity against God. And they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. Nor can they value it. Every time he said things like that, it was a shock to me. He said, Read that part again. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter. They will not. Not that God don't want them to. They will not enter in the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. They will never yield. They are opposite. They are fallen. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. They are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it, according to the parable of the soul. That's the reason people reject the word. The word don't grow roots, and they let other things choke the word. And their heart is so hard they won't receive it. But when the word is spoken, when the light is shown to a person that have a good heart, they have hope. They see hope. They see life and opportunity, and they want it, and they grab it, and they hold on to it, and they do whatever it takes to keep it. And other people, they think they're better than us. Everybody's invited to heaven, to eternity, and that's the best they can say. You think you're better than me. God can't take sin to heaven, folks. He divided it out of his kingdom. The day is coming that's not going to be any sin. Paul warned us. Peter warned us. He said some of you are going to try to take people, make an insurrection against the ways of God, you know. Not my quoted, but that's how what he was saying. Consider these things because it's real. God loves us. He came to redeem us. He loves all of us. This is his answer to all of those prayers for those that reject God. Consider these things. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move thoroughly in your life.